Welcome back. I'm sure the folks at the Neponset River Watershed Association are hoping for better weather than today on Saturday, April 25th, of their big spring cleanup. Executive Director Ian Cook is back with us, and he's brought a friend, environmental science fellow, Mayor Khanna, is here. So welcome to both of you. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Ian, great to see you again, and nice to meet you for the first time as well. For folks, Ian, who are not aware of the Watershed Association, let's talk a little bit about what it is and what it does.
Sure. So we are a regional nonprofit group, and we are dedicated to cleaning up and protecting the Neponset River. So we work in all 14 cities and towns up and down the river. Not everybody realizes, you know, here in Quincy, we're at the downstream end. The river actually starts all the way up in Foxborough, right next to Gillette Stadium, and goes through 14 towns. So we're focused on how we keep the river clean and make it accessible so people can enjoy it.
Sure. What are some of the greatest challenges that the Neponset River is facing right now?
I think there's a number of them. So one of the ones that has always been a challenge and is still something we're working on is water quality. Mm. You know, back years ago, you know, the river was very much polluted by industrial discharges. That's not really a thing anymore, but we still do have a lot of challenges with polluted stormwater runoff from streets and parking lots. So that's one of our big ones. You know, creating access to the river is another thing we spend a lot of time focusing on. You know, because of that industrial past, a lot of sections of the river were kind of, you know, communities kind of turned their back on them because the river was dirty and unpleasant. But now that's the waterfront, and it's cleaner and very attractive. So trying to open that up and create parks where people can enjoy things. And then, you know, we also spend a lot of time working on climate issues increasingly. So looking at how changing rainfall patterns and changing sea levels are impacting both our natural resources and all the people who live in our communities.
Sure.
It's a big set of challenges to think about.
I would say, yeah. Was there an actual cleanup of the Neponset River similar to like the Boston Harbor cleanup? Did that ever occur? Is it more kind of a piecemeal process?
It's been more incremental than that. You know, in the Boston Harbor cleanup, really there was sort of like the sewage from all the surrounding cities and towns. You know, so that was like one very well-defined problem to be dealt with. And then Neponset, it was like a little factory here, a little sewer leak there, and it's, you know, it's finding those needles in the haystack and getting them all fixed one by one.
Okay. Can you swim in the Neponset River?
You actually can. Yeah. A lot of places in the Neponset now meet fishable, swimmable water quality standards. You know, it depends on where you look.
Yes.
And Maher can talk a little bit about our water quality program, because since she helps to supervise it.
Great.
But probably about 75% to 80% of the Neponset River now meets swimmable, fishable water quality standards most of the time. The exception of that is when it's raining and we're getting that runoff from streets and parking lots.
Okay.
Things are not as great then.
That's similar to the beaches as well, right?
It's exactly the same dynamic. A lot of the challenges that they have at Wollaston Beach are fundamentally the same challenges we have everywhere.
Absolutely, yeah. Talk a little bit about who the association is, if you can, Ian. It's more than just you and me, right?
Very much so. So we are, you know, we're a grassroots group. You know, we're a member-supported group. We have about 800 families in the watershed that are members. We also get support from corporate partners, foundation grants, some government grants. And basically, our members elect a volunteer board of directors who supervises the organization.
Okay.
And we now have 13 staff who are working on different aspects of the challenges across the cities and towns.
Okay.
So, and along with that, of course, our volunteer corps is also really, really important. And that's probably, you know, it varies a little bit from year to year, but we probably have 500-ish people who are volunteering in some way in any given year. So it's a lot of people all pulling together.
Yeah, and I would venture to guess a lot of those volunteers, along with staff, will be at your annual spring cleanup.
That is absolutely right. And Mayer is actually organizing the cleanup. Should we ask her to tell us a little bit about it?
Let's do that. Yeah, it's coming up a week from tomorrow, April 25th, 9 to noon. And over 13 sites, Mayer, right across the watershed.
Yes, so 15 different sites throughout the Neponset.
Okay.
We got a few here in Quincy, Neponset Landing and Squanum Point Park, but then a bunch of other ones in Norwood and Walpole, and then also in Boston, Milton. So it's a great effort with, you know, it's going to be over like 200 volunteers coming up to clear a bunch of trash and also doing some invasive removal. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it'll be a great initiative.
Let's talk a little bit about how it actually works. It's pretty quick. It's a 3-hour event, but can folks just show up at one of those locations and pitch in?
Yeah, so we have a sign-up registration platform online, and folks can just sign up online, and we have basically NetPro provides all the supplies that you need. We got pickers and gloves and trash bags. So once you sign up, you can just come to the site and pick up some trash.
Okay, all right. And when you say pick up some trash, what typically gets picked up and how does that happen?
So many things. There's a lot of regular household trash, you know, just like plastic bottles and bags, but then sometimes we get some more interesting things. There's shopping carts, there's tires that are dumped. So there's a whole bunch of things.
Do you actually categorize and catalog what's collected?
Yes. So our volunteer site captains at each site are creating inventory of all the different things that are being collected. And at the end, after the cleanup is over, we compile all those lists and let the public know what will be picked up.
Right. Yeah. I know it's similar to the Friends of Wollaston Beach cleanup as well. And the cigarette butts are their number one. Is it the same with the watershed?
Cigarette
as well?
Butts. I feel like we also get a lot of just plastic bottle caps, especially. Yeah. Just a lot of the small things are always hidden. So,
interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, do you have to be a member of the Watershed Association to take part in the cleanup? No.
No. Okay. Anyone can join. Anyone can join. It's a great initiative. I feel like it's a lot of people who just get involved in NetPro, but also some older, more volunteers that have volunteered with us a lot have all come in together for this initiative.
Okay. So, what happens to all the trash once it's all collected?
Our lovely DPWs and DCR are able to pick up the trash for us, which we appreciate. They properly dispose of it.
Recycle the recyclables, I'm guessing, if there are recycled items?
We are trying to do that more. It's a bit hard to ask for our volunteers to also sort that out while doing that. And things are also kind of degrading, so I like the actual material is kind of degrading, so it's hard when to take all those things into account. And things like plastic bottle caps won't be recycled if it's just because the piece of plastic itself is so small.
Yes.
So a bunch of those things, even though we want to recycle them, won't actually be recycled. So. Yeah.
And is it trash just along the riverbank or also in the water?
Yeah. So we do trash along the riverbank. We do some sites that aren't even near the river, but they still need a lot of help. Because eventually, we know all this trash is going to wash away, or blow away, and it'll go into the environment one way or another.
Right? Yeah.
Find its way into the river. Well, we do have a few sites that are actually in the stream, which is a pretty cool initiative. We partner with some other organizations, like this year we're going to partner with Greater Boston Trout Unlimited and the Native Fish Coalition. So both of those groups are going to do cleanups within the river. Mm. So that'll be fun to
in kayaks or canoes or
they're going to wade
flotation device. They're going to wade.
They're going to go right in.
Oh, really? Okay.
Jump on in.
Ooh, that's brave.
these are fishermen. Any chance they get to use their waders, they're excited.
Even
about
in 50 degree water.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Sounds challenging to say the least, for sure. I'm curious about your story, Mayor, and how you came to the Watershed Association.
Yes. How did I come here? I just graduated about a year ago. Coming up on a year now.
From
Northeastern University.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I studied environmental science, so right up my alley.
Sure.
And I was interested in kind of getting more of a nonprofit experience and community outreach kind of work, because in my previous co-ops and experiences, I've done more local government. So this is a cool experience to get involved with the community.
Yeah, myself. Have you learned things about the Watershed Association that you didn't know previously?
Yeah, so like Ian mentioned, I do kind of a lot of work with water quality training and water quality program managing. So I feel like I've been learning a lot about the surface water quality standards here in Massachusetts and about all the different parameters that we're testing our water for and how that kind of impacts water quality. So that's been interesting. I think just in general, learning about how to manage volunteers, manage a lot of volunteers, like for the cleanup.
There's that as
has been a learning curve.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you're also educating young people.
Yes.
Right? Visiting schools.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So NEPRA visits all the different fifth grade classroom, most of the fifth grade classrooms in the watershed. Mm-hmm. So we teach two different workshops to the fifth graders. We have a stormwater workshop and a water conservation workshop, which basically they're around 1 hour each, and we make it really interactive with a model, and we got some fun like activities for them. So it's, I think the kids really, they enjoy it. They like the change of pace, and they like to see us when we come into the classroom with our, you know, our giant suitcase, which is our, which is holding our model. They're always intrigued.
Yeah, which, you know, I'm sure is inspiring. If somebody had done that when you were in fifth grade, you know, you might have followed that path as well, right?
Yeah.
We have some pictures. You brought show and tell. We want to show folks to get a sense for what's going on. So, Ian, what are we looking at here? This motley crew here.
So here are some of our volunteers at the end of the cleanup. Okay. We should probably have a before picture comparison. This is, I think, out at Squantum Point with UMass in the background.
Looks like
we
it,
had
yeah.
a beautiful weather this day. So you can see they're all looking pretty pleased with themselves, which they should. And actually, you know what's missing from this picture is the often we take these pictures standing behind all the trash they've collected. But if you could see the trash, there would be a big mound of it.
To put it in perspective, right?
Right.
Yeah, at least their height probably higher, right?
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the next one here. Let's see what we've got for folks. Speaking of cleaning up in the water.
Yeah, so this actually speaks to one of the things that is a challenge on the river. You know, I mentioned the river's industrial history.
Yes.
And, you know, while those industrial discharges are not something that's happening anymore, in a few places in the river, we have remaining challenges with a certain amount of that historic industrial pollution that's still in the mud in the bottom
is that
of the river.
Right? Okay.
So just 2-3 years ago, actually, the EPA designated the lower Neponset River, so this is in Hyde Park, Mattapan, and Dorchester, and a bit of Milton, as a Superfund site because of contaminated sediments.
Okay.
So this is actually some divers from an EPA contractor who are getting out there, and they're not actually sampling the sediment, but what they were doing is before they can dig up the contaminated sediment in the river, they have to check for magnetic anomalies. And so when this diver found, they sort of scanned the river with a magnet, found a bunch of magnetic anomalies, and sent this gentleman in the suit down to figure out what they were.
Oh.
Turns out there were 5 cars
no kidding.
Underwater in this section of the river that have to be removed before you can go in and dredge out the mud.
Wow.
So they were sort of figuring out where they were, how they could get them out of there.
Was that a surprise? So, I'm sure it was.
It was somewhat of a surprise because we thought we had gotten all of the cars out of this section. We removed 3 of them ourselves over the last couple of years, but there were a few that were submerged and were so buried in the mud that you couldn't actually see them. And that's, you know, again, that's an indication of how the river has changed over time. Mm. Like back in the day, the river was polluted. It was a great place to dump your stolen car.
I see.
You know, today there's people enjoying the river, and you would never do that. So we're still kind of catching up on those last few big cleanup items.
Where exactly, do you know where this location is precisely?
This is right in Hyde Park near Fairmount Ave.
Okay, I'm familiar with the area, so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Take a look at the next one. here's more what we like to see, folks enjoying the river, right?
So this is some folks out canoeing. These folks are just downstream of the Baker Dam and Adams Street in Lower
Mills.
It
looks like
the
Baker Chocolate Factory in the background there.
Yeah, this is a beautiful little spot. You're seeing it here at high tide because this is part of the river that's tidal. Some historic mill buildings on either side.
Yep.
And this is also an interesting spot because this is where a very special kind of migratory fish comes to spawn. It's called a rainbow smelt. And this is the rainbow smelt spawning area in the pots of the smelt. They're probably, are laying their eggs there right now.
It's going to start springtime, huh?
Yeah, and this is one of their larger runs in Massachusetts, something we're very interested in protecting. And again, if you're a fisherman, you know smelt, like fishermen get really excited about smelt and herring, right? Because that's what the big fish like to eat.
It's good bait fish, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, sure. I think we have one or two more. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, indeed. This is a good one. So one of the other challenges I alluded to was climate change, right? And so, you know, changing climate is bringing us higher seas, and some of that has happened already. Some of it's coming. It's also bringing us bigger and more frequent large rainstorms.
Yep.
So here in Quincy, you're sort of lucky in that you get if you're in Foxborough, you've only got to worry about the rain. You're not so worried about the tide.
Right.
But here in Quincy, you're sort of wrestling with both of those forces. This is I think this is probably from that storm in 2018 that they always show the dumpster floating in the in the seaport. But
yes,
this is Quincy.
This is Neponset Landing right there.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So, and one of the things we've been doing recently is we've been doing some work on doing more site-specific flood modeling for the section of Quincy along the Neponset River, to really try to understand more precisely, you know, over different time periods and different size storms, yep, how much flooding is gonna occur here. And one of the interesting things we've realized is, you know, one of the things that's really special about the Neponset is we have a lot of salt marshes in the Neponset still, which is, you know, kind of impressive. And we've realized that the salt marshes actually play a pretty significant role in helping to reduce the flooding that neighbors along the river
makes
experience.
Sense. It absorbs it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But of course, climate change is also sort of drowning out our marshes. So there's kind of a push and pull here. So the project is to basically look at how marsh restoration might help with mitigating flooding, as well as, you know, recreation and
absolutely,
habitat benefits and so forth.
Let's end with a fun one. Kids. Kids having fun.
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor, you mentioned children.
Yes, this is our stormwater program. This okay. We're using our Enviroscape model here. What we do is, you know, it's basically a model of a town, we like to say, or a city, whatever we like to say.
Sure.
Whatever the city that the kids are in,
yep,
say that's where we are. We got houses, got a factory, got a farm, and basically I asked the kids, hey, where do we see pollution in this town? And I sprinkle down some black sugar to represent pollution.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Some sugar that's been dyed black, and that is our pollution. And then the kids take these spray bottles and make a big rainstorm happen. And what we see is all of this runoff
is getting
polluted by all the pollution in the town,
it's
and
a
then
great
it goes
visual.
Into yeah,
yeah.
And then it goes into our Neponset River there on the model.
Then they can see it and remember that, right?
Yeah,
and think about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the cleanup is Saturday, April 25th, 9 to noon, here in Quincy at Squanum Point Park, and where else? I'm sorry,
Neponset Landing.
Neponset Landing.
Yes.
All right, go to the website, get more information, and I hope you have a great event.
Thank you.
And thank you both for coming by. It's great to talk to you again.
Absolutely, our pleasure.